B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, April 1st, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're very excited to present our PAX East special. Norris and Robbie were in attendance at one of the biggest gaming shows of the year over the weekend, and they've brought back a ton of great interviews. On today's show, we'll check out conversations the guys had with the developers of games like Samurai Showdown, Mayhem in the Single Valley, and Streets of Rage 4. Plus, they had the opportunity to sit down with some friends of the show like John Donadio of Gaming Access Weekly and Superfan Pasokan Gal. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we have to start today with a very special interview with the Boston Uprising. Norris and Robbie were lucky enough to sit down with Axiom and Kellex, a tank and support for the Boston Uprising.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We are here with Kellex and Axiom of the Boston Uprising, healer and tank, respectively. How are you guys doing today? You've been signing autographs all day, meeting fans. How's it been?
It's been good. We've been doing it for quite some time today. My hands hurt a little bit, but you know, it's nice meeting all the fans and like seeing all their cosplays and yeah, just, you know, signing posters is really nice.
So is autographs harder on the hand or playing? I mean, which is worse for the carpal tunnel?
I think writing autographs, because, like, at first it's really easy, but once you, like, have signed a bit, it's getting, you know, it's kind of the same, and it's, like, the same motion that you're getting. You just want to do something else for, like, a while.
Now I had seen a few Philly fans come through here as well. Did you give them autographs, too, or did you turn them away at the door?
I mean, they asked for it, so we had to.
You know what? That's very humble of you. Yeah. I appreciate that. So I got to ask you guys, you know, we just wrapped up the Stage 1 playoffs. Stage 1 gone in the books now. How do you guys feel overall? How did you feel about your performance?
You want to take this?
No.
Okay. I think we had a lot of problems, like, throughout the first stage, like, of just unfortunate situations happening. But I'm happy with how it turned out. I think a lot of people expected us to be low on the rankings. We got 8th, I think, in stage playoffs. So I'm really happy that we managed to turn things around and really, like, prove people wrong again, because that was, like, my main goal for this stage, just to have our team perform well. And I think we did that.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you guys' last match of the stage, you know, the regular season in the stage, was against Dallas, and you guys were able to pull off a really nice reverse sweep. What was the feeling of that, being able to bring that match back?
Yeah, I think there's no better feeling than getting a reverse sweep, because if you get a 4-0 win, as we did against Florida, it was nice, obviously,
yes,
but
yes,
getting, like, a reverse sweep against Dallas was, like, an amazing feeling. I can't even describe
it. It was amazing watching it, let me tell you.
Because we were down 2-0, and I was like, oh no, we're going to lose this. I was really upset, because I knew it would be really bad, but the coaches managed to talk some sense into us, and we just came back and refocused even harder. And then when we won that last map, like, even playing the very last round, like, Aimingard was, like, jumping, like, when we got a kill, because we were so close to winning, and he was, like, jumping, and I was like, oh no, relax. And then we won, and we were just finally.
Speaking about some of the expectations that were placed on you guys this season, you know, you went through a lot of roster changes, brought in a lot of new players, Axiom, you being one of those. How was it trying to integrating the new team into the existing structure?
It was like joining a new team, pretty much, because we had me, Norton, and Aimgot, like, being the core members, because we all came from Season 1. But getting all these new DPS players and tank players, it was really, like, a new experience. It's really fresh, because it's being on a new team, so you have to start from the ground again, pretty much. But then again, not really, because we had Node, who played all season with me as well. So it was, like, fresh in a way, because it was all new teammates, which is, I think, is really nice, because you make new friends and you get new connections. So
can you tell us what it's like playing with Fusion? Because, you know, seeing him on the cam, you know,
there seems to be a lot of screaming.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I don't know about screaming, but man, that kid can talk.
Yeah, back in the day, I used to play a lot with Fusion. We were just good friends, and then when he finally got moved up to the main roster, I was really happy, because he was a good friend of mine. And then when we had our first scrim with him, he was, like, really loud, and, like, he has his facial expressions, like, really going crazy, and I was just like, wow, he doesn't stop talking. And I mean, it's good in a way because the Ghost Planet was really high tempo, so he really needed to be like focused all the time. So it was good that he was so hyped up, especially on stage, because we were never quiet. Like only between rounds when we just wanted to relax. But it was really nice having him because he was like a stable, consistent guy who always had ideas on what to do.
And speaking about that, I mean, moving into stage two, the meta probably will not be the same. Not to say that goats will disappear all of a sudden, but the meta will probably be a little different. Do you think that the meta is going to stay pretty tank-heavy, or do you see Baptiste coming in and shifting some things up?
Or even the DPS changes as well.
It depends on maps, actually. Just some maps, still goats is better, and in some maps like A-point, B-point, like 2CP, people use Orisa a lot and use Baptiste and then just counter-dive or something.
Yeah, I think on King's Row first point, or like Anubis first point, Hanamura for example, there's a really good chance the teams might be playing the bunker comps of defense with Baptiste because he has this immortality field. And I think we've been trying like playing everything pretty much, and like you can dive in with using Baptiste E so your team doesn't die in the dive, or you can be like on the defensive side playing like Bastion and putting down the immortality field so the Bastion doesn't die. Like you has to be really creative in this meta, and I think you can still play Ghost, but with Winston, since his beam damage, like sap damage got buff, you can still play Ghost, but it's only on like code maps, I think, where it's like not a point map, because if you have to cap a point, it's really hard to play Ghost, because the bunker comps with Orisa are really strong. But once you get going, let's say you cap first point King's Row, then you can play Ghost easily.
So as a support player yourself, you know, what have been your reactions to Baptiste coming into the game? I mean, is he someone that you enjoy playing, or do you prefer to stick to the Lucio?
I mean, after the Lucianif, I was quite sad, because I thought that was like the only thing that made him viable. But I'm happy with the introduction of Baptiste, because he seems to have a lot of everything in his kit. Damage, healing, like even his new E ability, the immortality field. He has a lot of different things, and I tried him once in practice, and I actually really like him, because he has everything. And if you're playing this guy, you're not missing out on anything. So he can work with a lot of different comps. So I'm glad that they brought him in when they nerfed Lucio.
So looking forward into the rest of the season, stage two and beyond, you guys got into the stage playoffs in stage one. What are you all looking to improve upon in order to make your chances of making the stage two playoffs and beyond that? What are you guys looking to strengthen?
I think out of stage two onwards, I think just improving our general team synergy, because as I said, like we are kind of a fresh team. We had like half our team is new, and so it's really fresh. And we need to, even though we did well in stage one, we still have to like build our team synergy and trust each other more and more. So I think that's the thing I want to work on in stage two and going forward. I don't know about Axiom, but general team synergy is like my main thing to focus on.
What are you looking forward to or to improve on in stage two, Axiom?
It's different with Ghost meta, because meta will be changed, so I don't know. Well, yeah.
You're just so... I mean, again... We're in such a good place, we'll need to improve.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a hard thing, because like, the meta is completely changing, so we don't really know what's happening, because our team is practicing right now, but we are here in PAX, having beating fans and doing these things, so I think just focusing on the new meta will be like our main priority, and then like team synergy, as I said, because everything will be changing now.
And how do you guys feel about that, like as pros, knowing that other esports play pretty much maybe on the same patch or the same meta for at sometimes a whole season, maybe a half a season?
I think that can get pretty stale, because if you had to go to meta for like the whole season two of Overwatch, I think people just be like, nah, we're boycotting this.
So you do actually like the it changing from stage to stage?
It's not fun playing the exact same hero every single time for let's say a year. So I'm glad that we're getting a change, and also I think the viewers are really happy that they're going to see something else, because I think all the viewers really want some flashy plays, like a Widow getting killing four people or something. And some people really find like doing team combos and stuff like that boring. So I think just people want something new and fresh, and then more flashy plays, I guess.
Lastly, just to wrap up, if you guys have a message out there for all the Boston Uprising fans, what would it be?
Now, I just want to say thank you to everyone coming out to us in PAX. We've seen so many people, and I'm sure more will come today and tomorrow. We really appreciate you guys coming out, and I've really enjoyed my time here, so thank you for making a great time for me and Axiom. And of course, keep supporting us when you're playing our matches. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Excellent. That has been Kellex and Axiom from the Boston Uprising. Thank you guys for taking your time out to talk with us,
sure.
And good luck in stage two and in the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Axiom and Kellex for their time. Remember that the Boston Uprising have unveiled their opening bracket for the Collegiate Cup coming up in April. The first round gets underway April 6th at 6 p.m. in Emerson B, taking on the University of Rhode Island. All in all, 11 teams from 9 schools are set to compete. The semifinals will be held on April 28th at the Back Bay Center and will be free and open to the public. The winning team will earn a trip out to Los Angeles to watch the Boston Uprising compete. For more info, visit uprising.overwatchleague.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in on conversations with some of our longtime friends of the show. Our conversations with John Donadio and superfan Pasok Angal will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, the guys were able to talk to a bunch of developers over the weekend. Their conversations with developers on Samurai Showdown, Mayhem in Single Valley, and Streets of Rage 4 are ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talking Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. While out at PAX East, Norris and Robbie got to sit down with a bunch of developers. First up, we'd like to welcome Yasuyuki Oda, Deputy GM of the Game Division, and Nobuyuki Kuroki, Lead Artist for SNK. And with them is Josh Weatherford, SNK Game Designer, to talk about the revival of Samurai Showdown.
What led up to the development of bringing Samurai Showdown back and really staying true to its roots?
He definitely
wanted to make the game personally was one thing, but also there was a lot of requests from fans, and we definitely wanted to meet those expectations. And finally, we definitely feel like esports are a very big trend right now, and we feel like Samurai Showdown is so iconic and distinctive that it really can stand out on its own whenever it comes to the competition.
And speaking of esports, we see that there's a big support for Samurai Showdown to be at EVO. It's supposed to be at EVO. How excited were you all that the fighting game community was so excited to see Samurai Showdown back and to be played competitively?
I mean, he's really, really happy to see the response, and he feels like they've made a game that's going to please a lot of the fans, and it's staying very traditional and true to the roots. So he just wants them to all have fun and compete.
Awesome. Now I want to talk a little bit about the art style. It favors a lot something like Street Fighter 4 with sort of sumé type of art style. What went into sort of making the decision to make it sort of seem like a painting that's jumping off the screen?
まずは、日本、侍ということで、日本の伝統的な絵画、日本画を参考にしたということと、あと、3Dのリッチな表現をアンリアルエンジンで再現して、それを融合させるっていうコンセプトで作りました。
Yeah, I mean, the basic concept from the start was basically, you know, it's supposed to be a samurai game with a lot of Japanese influence, so they wanted to go back to the traditional roots, look at a lot of old traditional paintings and stuff, and basically combine that with the modern-day graphics you can pull off with something like Unreal Engine 4.
Now, I actually got my hands on the game a little bit earlier. It was amazing. It was great to play. I love the fact that it's difficult and it has a lot of the neutral game. Do you think that, you know, there'll be some players who don't want to play it because it's not necessarily as fast as some of the other fighters?
Yeah, speed up 遅いっていう感じは多分しないと思うんですね。上達してくるとお互いこう上手くなってきて速くなってくると思うんですね。だからあんまり遅くなるっていう感じは多分ないかな。
Yeah, I mean, he thinks that, especially whenever you see higher level plays, that you're going to start seeing they speed up more and more and more. So he doesn't really think that's going to be an issue, especially. Yeah, I mean, when you come to, this is from me, but you get Hawamoto in the right situation, he can kill you in three hits. Like, it's over.
So, you know, what part of the development of Sam Show has been, you know, the most fulfilling or the most fun? Because you can tell a lot of care has been put in this game. So what part has been the most intriguing as a development team?
楽しかった。まあ、やっぱり過去のサムライを今の技術で蘇らせれてるってこと自体が、やっぱりモチベーションが上がって楽しかったっていうのがあります。
I mean, it's pretty basic, but just the fact that he was able to, you know, revive the series in a modern-day setting, you know, like with the, you know, modern-day technology and stuff, that was just exciting to him and really brought his motivation up from the start.
Awesome.
Okay, very quick question here. Does nicotine caffeine come back?
それは彼に言ってください。
まあ皆さんの要望が多ければ、あの全てのキャラクターにはチャンスがあります。
So yeah, he threw it to Oda-san, and Oda-san basically said that it depends on the fans' demands and stuff, and you know, anybody has a chance to come in at this point if they really want it.
And just lastly, what sort of DLC, you know, character stages, is there DLC planned for the future, and will it be season pass, will it be episodic, and so on?
そうですね、おそらくシーズンパスという形になるかなと思うんですけど、まあ、今準備中なのでまだ発表できる段階にはないです。決まり次第発表します。
Yeah, at this moment, not everything's set in stone. We probably, there's a chance we're going to do something like a season pass or a fighter's pass kind of thing, but we definitely want to share more info about that going forward as we decide it.
And the last question I want to ask, what character has been the most fun or the closest to your heart as you develop the game?
He put a lot of work into Hawamoto and Earthquake especially.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The game looks amazing, and we appreciate you all taking your time out to come and speak with us about Sam Show. It's very exciting for all of us fighting game fans.
まあ、一ファンとしてはすごく楽しみにしている。
ありがとうございます。Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
ありがとうございます。
Thanks again to the developers of Samurai Showdown for their time. Back to the interviews in just a second, but you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Now, let's take a listen to our interview with Brian Cullen, developer of a new indie title, Mayhem in Single Valley.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're out here at PAX East, getting ready to talk to some of the developers of some of these amazing indie games we're seeing here.
A lot of great indie games.
That's right, and joining us is
Brian Cullen from Fluxcopic Limited, and we're releasing our game Mayhem in Single Valley this fall.
That's right. Now, I have to say, what caught my eye about Mayhem in Single Valley was particularly, it reminded me a lot of Undertale, which I actually haven't played up to this moment.
Oh, okay.
Almost everybody else on our crew has. They rave about it. I've been given a copy for free for Christmas, and I still haven't. But when I saw your game, I sat down, I kind of tried out a little bit. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what Mayhem in Single Valley is? Exactly.
Yeah, well, Mayhem in Single Valley is a little bit like Zelda with modern systems and sensibilities under the hood. It definitely has, I kind of describe it as Last of Us meets Undertale, meets Zelda, meets Stranger Things. So it's definitely hitting a lot of popular franchises. Not on purpose. I actually wrote... I'm not too cynical a person. I actually wrote the script and tried to put a lot of meaning and heart into it. And I'm doing the soundtrack and stuff too the same way. Most of the stuff I'm trying to hark back to is my experience of playing video games back in the 80s, Commodore 64 and stuff. But the game is a bit Spielbergian. It's kind of family issues and stuff. And as you go on your adventure, you find out more about yourself and your family whilst having a lot of fun playing
right,
and interacting
yeah,
with the systems.
So I got to play about the first 10 minutes of it, which starts off, and I, sitting down, I had no idea what to expect. You're flying through the air, and you have to catch little people that are falling out of a burning and crashing plane.
Oh, wow.
And as debris hits you, you drop them, or if you're going too fast, you drop them, and I'm like, I am really, really bad at this game. But that actually ends up
I was kind of ripping off J.J. Abrams when he did the first his first Star Trek movie, where it, like, we want to open the game with a bang, you know?
Right,
But you can't win or lose in that section. You can complete it, you know, there's a bonus way of doing it. If you actually collect all 10 people, you'll fly off and you'll wake up and it might give you a little speed boost or something.
But
the idea was Jack is anxious about moving out of his house, and that's actually a Freudian dream. He's catching himself falling out of a burning plane, so it's a little deep in that way.
Because in the first opening sequences, you know, he's in his house with his parents. You're kind of going around, you know, doing a little bit of chores. It's like the tutorial, you know, teaching you the controls and stuff.
Yes.
So what does the scope of the game look like? Because I noticed a few other people playing. They were all like in the wilderness, you know, around trees and rivers.
Basically what happens is that Jack is actually moving out of his house to go to art college, and he's collecting his funds. He doesn't, after his experience, I don't think he needs to go to art college. I think that's kind of one of the jokes towards the end. But anyway, Jack collects his funds and he collects his passport and he's all his things together. He's just about to leave home. He's very anxious about leaving his little brother behind and stuff. There's some family issues. Not in too dark, but you know, and people get to redeem themselves later in the game. But that's the situation at the beginning of the game. He looks out the window to see his town for one last time, and a strange creature called the Entity poisons the water supply, and a squirrel who's poisoned comes and actually takes his backpack away. Aside from that, a local jogger who's a little obnoxious sees Jack in the treehouse and blames him for poisoning the water supply and goes off and tells the town. So Jack gets to clear his name, collect all his finances and passport, and also find out why the Entity destroyed his life.
Wow.
Basically.
So I have a question more so about indie games and the indie scene as a whole. Right now at PAX, PAX is known for its indie presence. It has a lot of the smaller games, and we're beginning to see sort of more consumer support and more development support as companies buy smaller studios and whatnot for sort of smaller games, not every game having to be a big AAA experience. As a developer of a small indie game, do you feel that that's something that's healthy for gaming moving forward, or does there need to be more balance?
Are you talking in terms of gigantic super boots versus my little boot?
Not necessarily in terms of boot, but even just from a development standpoint.
I think if a game is good enough nowadays, we've got so many platforms that we can get, like even you guys interview me right now is special and very important. So as long as people actually look out for the smaller games, keep their eyes open, and then maybe give attention and shine some light on those games, I think we're all good. I kind of believe a good game will go far in this day and age, because we've so many different platforms like Twitch and stuff that we can actually get support from people on. But if people ignore the little games and go for the bright lights all the time, we may fall back, you know, and fall behind the curtain a little bit.
So what platforms are you aiming to put Mayhem out on? I think
currently the game, if we release early fall, it will definitely be on PC, Mac and Linux. Mm-hmm. We're kind of thinking about maybe pushing it back 1 or 2 months and releasing on all platforms at the same time.
Okay.
We really want to, everyone's talking about it, would be great, said it would be great in Switch.
It would be an amazing Switch game.
That has changed the priority a little bit, so maybe definitely the PC crowd is going to get our first copy, or it's all going to be the same time, but definitely not going to leave out the PlayStation, Switch, and Xbox players.
Now, one of the other things that really interested me about the game, mechanics-wise, and kind of, you know, you're talking about some of the underlying mechanics, about how, like, if you jump in the river with your backpack, you could drown. If you don't have your backpack on, then you're
absolutely
okay. Like, what goes into wanting to put in, you know, complicated features like that?
So I love Undertale, but if you run around in Undertale, you get like a surprise, a surprise attack every once in a while. You don't see a character in the level. What you see in the game is what you get. It's all very physics oriented. So if you jump into the river, you could be dragged downstream, and some of the river's poison, so you'll get killed if you go into the poison. But there's like puzzles as well. If you leave your backpack down, you're more vulnerable. You don't have all those tools, but you might have to go across the river, maybe knock over a tree, and then you can get your backpack across. The other thing is, if you even throw an acorn into the water, it'll flow downstream. So we have all these kind of physics. Anything can be buoyant. Even the NPCs in the game, you can pick up and put in your bag within reason. So if a fish jumps out of the river, if a fish jumps out of the river that's poisoned and attacks you, you can pick up that fish, put it in your inventory, and you can actually distract a bear with it later. You know, so everything's kind of crosses over. All the systems are independent of each other, but you can also use them in really playful ways to create.
But if the fish is poisoned and the bear eats it, does the bear die?
The bear gets poisoned and will chase you and try and kill you. So hopefully, if it's the bear, it's kind of complicated. It's a funny little system. It's simple, but you can do lots of things with it. If the bear isn't poisoned and he eats a poisoned fish, he will become poisoned and get aggressive and chase you. if you put antidote with a fish, you can actually throw an antidote fish and he'll be pacified again.
Wow.
But you can use that to your ability. Squirrels are scared of the bears, right? So say there's a herd of squirrels. What do you call a herd of squirrels?
I don't think it's a herd.
A pack of squirrels, a murder of squirrels, I don't know. It would be a murder of squirrels in this case, but they'll hang around, like, say, a little cave door. You could actually run up to the bear, wake it up, and the bear will chase you, and the squirrels will be scared of it and run away. So you can kind of use things in the ecosystem to your benefit.
Well, that's great. I'm really looking forward to trying it when it comes out. You said you're aiming for like an early fall release?
I would say, let's just say fall for now, but early fall would be realistic, yes.
All right,
we have all the content in there, and we're just doing little art passes and design passes as well to make the game as good as possible for players.
Well, one more time, go ahead and let our listeners know where they can find Mayhem
so
and Single
you can
Valley.
Find Mayhem and Single Valley. You can add it to your wish list on Steam, so just go to the Steam page. I have a page on IndieDB, GameJolt, itch.io, all those platforms. You can even go to the Fluxscopic website, and you can get links to all those there. There's a press kit there if you want to download images and look at the trailer and get more info on the game.
Right, well, thank you so much for joining us,
guys,
here on
Checkpoint
XP. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're here at PAX East, guys, doing some interviews with indie developers. Stay tuned for more.
Thanks again to Brian for his time. For more info on Mayhem in the Single Valley, search the game on Steam. And while you're there, why not put it on your wish list? You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. We've got one more developer interview to check out, so let's take a listen to Norris's conversation with Julian Yu, artist on Streets of Rage 4.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. I'm sitting right now with a person who has brought one of my dreams to reality, Julian Yu. He's one of the artists on Streets of Rage 4. Welcome, Julian.
Thank you.
So, first off, you had to have had to love this game as a kid yourself.
Yeah, I played with my father when I was a kid on the Genesis, on the Mega Drive in France. And I really loved Streets of Rage. That's very good memories for me.
That's funny because that was a game that I played with my father as well. So it seems to be that sons and fathers were bonding a lot over this game. I can't wait to get it so I can play the new one with him. He's very excited about it.
I think I will play with him too. And my father already played the game with me at the studio, you know. But
yeah, does he like it?
Yeah, really like it. He's very proud of his son.
So, as an artist, the backgrounds and the animations are beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very well done. What went into sort of creating the new backgrounds for the game?
At first, we imagined the story, and after that, I have to decide what I want to do in each background to give them the life and take so many references on internet and books to give them life. And the goal, I want to tell you a story in the background, you know. That's the most difficult thing, but that's why maybe you like it, because you don't see it, but it tells you stories.
Yeah, and so taking a game that people love so much and bringing new life to it, did that create a lot of pressure for you making the game?
Yeah, a lot of pressure, but also a lot of pleasure. Yeah, that's so funny. Every time when I woke up the morning to go to the work, that's amazing. That's a dream.
Yeah.
But there is also a lot of pressure because we have to be perfect and everything has to be perfect for the love of this game.
Yeah. And how has the reception at the show been? Have people enjoyed it here at PAX?
Yeah. Many people enjoy it. It brings some many memories to people. They say, you know, I was playing with my friends when I was a little kid, and now that's exactly the same feeling, but with some more things, some new features, and it's more fun, and people really like it. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And so, one last thing, because I know you got to get back to your booth. This was going to be really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But who did you play as growing up? Who was your dad? What character did your dad use, and who did you play as?
What characters my dad played?
Yeah.
He played Max. And I always play Axel.
It's so crazy. That's the same as my dad. My dad was always Max or Skate, and I was always Axel.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But Julian, thank you so much for coming by and speaking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And we really appreciate the work that you and the team have done on Streets of Rage 4. We all can't wait to play it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for their time out at PAX East. For full interviews, visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, to wrap up our PAX East special, we sat down and talked with a couple of our longtime friends of the show. Our conversations with John Donadio of Gaming Access Weekly and superfan Pasok and Gal are ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. Check out our website at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. It wasn't just developers that we got to talk to out at PAX East. We also got to speak to some of our longtime friends. Joining us now is another longtime friend of the show, John Donadio. He's working with Gaming Access Weekly and took some time to talk to us over the weekend.
You are listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're here with an old buddy, old friend, John Donadio, Gaming Access Weekly.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Find him on Twitter at SomeBeardyToLove, and look at that beard.
Yeah, the beard. Yeah.
Nate, if you're listening, if you're watching, this is how
this
you
is
do
a beard.
It,
this
man.
Is, this is a beard.
Remember, that's the number two. It's not spelled out, so it's not T-O.
Right, right. SomeBeardyToLove.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And if you guys have been long-time viewers or listeners of Checkpoint XP, way back when we were just Checkpoint Radio, John has been a longtime friend of the show.
That's right. One of the first industry insiders that we got to hook up with. That's right. We've all come a long way since then.
That's right.
Actually, didn't even realize you were going to be out here at PAX East, man.
Yeah, I found out literally through like your Instagram, and I was like, oh my god, the guys are going to be
that's
here.
Great.
Yeah, yes. I was like, I gotta hook up with them. I gotta find them.
Social media is working.
Yeah.
So, John, explain to us a little bit about Gaming Access Weekly, what your role is, and what it's all about.
Sure. I'm actually the CEO over there, so I kind of run things on a day-to-day basis. We have streamers that are basically 7 days a week on Mixer. We have for the most part, everyone obviously has their own life or whatever. We do news daily, reviews, editorials, all kinds of stuff. We like to do some group editorials too, so like you get to hear the voices of all the writers. So we got some good stuff coming up for April. We're going to do an Easter egg, you know, like our favorite Easter eggs article.
Dig it.
I assume it's a wide array of stuff from gaming to esports. I mean, since we have you here, I gotta ask, what happened to the London Spitfire, man?
We gotta bring this up because you gave us endless crap when we were out at Grand Finals about us picking Philly Fuse.
First of all,
endless crap.
First of all, he started it.
Whoa, what?
Okay. He came at me straight in the face, right? Straight in the face, and goes, London's going to lose. He's going to lose to Philly. They're going to lose so hard. And I went, all right, man, listen, I'm just here to have some fun. I'm just going to cheer for my team.
That sounds like Robbie. He would
Robbie
do
came
like
at
that.
Me so hard. And I was like, you're going to eat those words.
Well,
and after the first
apparently,
day.
Apparently, I had
to back my boy up.
Apparently, what I was actually predicting was season two.
Oh.
Oh, you were a seer. Oh,
that's what it was. Yeah.
Soothsayer.
I was looking a bit too far into the future.
I was supposed to look out for the Ides of March. I get it.
Yes. But with that said, yeah, how are you feeling about London? They're not looking too good right
bro,
now.
Bro, I'm so mad. I'm so upset. Like my number two is NYXL. Excelsior, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, especially being a Marvel fan forever, you know,
Excelsior is
the best word ever. Anyway, so the... my second team is at least doing well, but my first team, my London, is not doing well at all. It's so heartbreaking. But let me tell you something, man. Their first match, if they lose to Florida, I am quitting them. I am so done. If Bird Ring doesn't pull it out of his pocket, I'm done.
You know what? But the way the entirety of the Overwatch League has been, the parody has been crazy. It's like... it wouldn't be that surprising for Florida to come out and actually win against London.
New Florida.
Second to last place if they win. It's
look,
like, you know.
Look, New Florida has looked decent in some of their matches, despite that 1-5 or 1-6 record that they have, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not very great.
They do have some potential in there. So
look,
it's not the realm of possibility.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm just telling them right now, if they're listening, I'm done with you guys if you lose to Florida. Done.
Well, I just want to say, we are here at PAX East right now. You've been walking around. You've been able to see a lot more of the show floor than we have.
Yeah, I have.
What has impressed you so far?
Okay, so there is a game called Double Kick Heroes. You guys remember Double Kick Heroes?
I remember Double Kick.
Dude, look it up if you don't know it. Double Kick Heroes, it is the, like, side Galaga meets Guitar Hero.
What?
Okay, so you have a beat that you have to keep up with, right?
Uh-huh.
And your car that you're in, you're a band in a car, and you're shooting at zombies following you.
Yep.
And undead and all kinds of monsters and huge vehicles, and you have to make sure that you hit the beat as it shoots at the things chasing you. It is a wild ride. It's all like metal. It's like, oh my God, dude, I was on fire. I was setting records over there. The guy was like, no one's done this well. You got 100% on the first three levels. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know, this is great.
I only play video games.
Yeah, I do this for a living. Yeah. You know, like,
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm still hype off Samurai Showdown. I'm gonna talk about it in every segment. I don't care,
dude. Streets of Rage 4.
It's
Streets
here?
Of Rage
yes.
4
yes.
is Dude. Looking good.
It looks awesome. I have an interview with them tomorrow, and I can't wait.
Do they have hands-on up there, too?
Yeah, they have. Oh. I don't know if it's for everybody, but they definitely
might be
have.
Media only?
It might be. I don't know. But you guys are technically media, right?
I was going to say, you need an assistant?
I mean, you know, like, yeah, I know, right? Just follow me around. Just
things are
meet
very
with me.
Things are very complicated. But, yeah, man, I didn't know Streets of Rage 4 was you.
I've missed it so far as well.
It's a big year for nostalgia this year in video games.
Yeah.
A lot of things coming back. Toe Jam and Earl is here.
Sure,
Toe Jam and Earl made a game after 20 years.
Yep.
And it's fantastic.
Yep.
It's really good. I mean, Borderlands is coming
Borderlands
back.
See, he's 3. Robbie's yes. the Borderlands yeah. hate.
Man,
here,
they're doing it right, too, the way that they're also re-releasing, like, HD remasters of
all
the games.
4K HD, and they've added stuff to it. So it's not even like you've got the same game and more.
I need to finish my Mass Effect playthrough so I can get on playing through those
right?
again.
Yeah, right? I started replaying Witcher 3 because I'm, like, going back through my backlog. And I'm like,
you
all
expecting
right,
a Witcher 4 release here sometime soon?
No, but I am.
No,
no. But
you know something we don't know, John?
Yeah, no. But Cyberpunk 2077
That's
is
right.
on its way, mm-hmm. and so I'm.
That
you know, CD Projekt Red is my heart, and I love them. So they really can't do any wrong. But yeah, I'm excited for a lot of stuff. The floor has been great. They've been doing a lot of good stuff.
I love all the indie stuff here,
dude.
Man.
The indie stuff has been they're kicking. Yes, they're still doing so much. I don't know what I can say here. But they're doing
really
well.
We'll edit it.
Yep. Okay, that's fine.
Whatever you need, whatever you want.
Yeah, they're doing some good work out here.
Yeah, so the one thing we actually did not mention is there's a huge, like, arena-style setup that's also on the show floor. I got a chance to catch the Tekken tournament, the Tekken 7 tournament that they were having out there. Did you get a chance to see any of the competitive stuff that they got going on?
I was walking around. I saw some cool Rocket League competitive competitive stuff.
Rocket League competitive.
Even the Magic the Gathering arena that they have set up here is looking real impressive.
Yeah. And those, I mean, those guys are, they are like strategists, so I said, like the millionth degree. I couldn't even touch the, I barely play anyway, but they would like,
I like
they would
this
bury
picture.
Me.
That's how I used to play.
So, okay, I gotta, what is the weirdest thing that you've seen so far?
Actually, it's gotta be Justin Roiland's game. From Squatch Games.
Yeah.
Justin Roiland, the guy who does Rick and Morty, he's made a game. I forget what it's called at the moment, but it is, Trevor Saves the Universe.
Mm.
It's the weirdest shit I've ever seen. It is 100% the weirdest thing on the floor right now.
Wait, have you seen Talking Simulator?
You didn't see Talking Simulator?
Talking Simulator is pretty strange. And there's also, like, some other game that's, like, it feels like a Cronenberg game. Like, somebody, like, took, like, the Cronenberg monsters,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, they, like, puzzle through, like, lands with, like, all these, like, weird, you know, that, actually, you know what? That one piece
that's
of
the weirdest
game. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's, like, just flesh monsters just, like, crawling through, like, puzzles.
Oh, that's super weird. That makes me uncomfortable.
It's really weird.
Strange.
Another one that I saw was pretty cool. It was called Brains.
And I saw that.
Yeah, it's like a strategy game as you play as the zombies rather than the heroes that kill them. So like you play as the zombies, you gather a horde and you start taking out normal humans and like and then you find out like maybe, you know, zombies are just doing their thing, man. They ain't so bad, you know. Like that was pretty cool. That was
they're just
cool
trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly. It's a survival thing, you know.
Well, John, I want to thank you for coming by and kicking it with us. Where can we find you one more time?
You can find me on Twitter, Insta, and Mixer at SomeBeardy2Love, that's the number 2 not spelled out. And you can go to GamingAccessWeekly.com for your video game news every day.
That's right. So once again, guys, John Donadio, Gaming Access Weekly, has joined us here on Checkpoint XP. John,
also, Party Up Podcast. I'm on the
Party Up Podcast.
The Party Up Podcast. Look at iTunes, SoundCloud, all that jazz.
That's right, guys. That's right. Once again, thank you one more time.
Yeah, man.
You're
thanks
listening to
me.
Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio coming to you from PAX East.
Thanks again to John for his time, and remember to check out GamingAccessWeekly.com. Joining us now is a fan of ours who's been a listener for longer than Checkpoint has even existed. So let's check out our conversation with Pasokan Gal.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We are here at PAX East, and Robbie and myself are here with Pasokan,
super fan. Officially Pasokan. Dubbing you super fan at Checkpoint XP.
Long time listener, long time fan, first time speaker on the podcast.
Isn't that so nice? See, because we love the people who listen to us,
mm-hmm.
so we reach out and we bring the people in on the show and on the joke. Let me explain to you guys right quick what was so awesome about Pasokan, okay? First of all, being a Checkpoint listener brings you good karma. Because at the Collegiate Cup...
Are you seriously telling this
yes,
story?
Yes, I'm telling
we are. Absolutely.
At the Collegiate Cup last year for the Boston Uprising, where various college teams played and vied for supremacy in Overwatch here in Boston, there was a giveaway for a gaming chair. Very expensive, very pricey.
Very sweet looking.
Guess who won?
Me.
It was Pasokan.
That just goes to show, being a fan of Checkpoint gets you benefits.
The universe knows.
It's karma. It's perfect karma.
It's perfect karma. And it was paid forward back to us because everything was kind of thrown together. We had a lot of last-minute stuff that we had to take care of here in Boston. So there was some stuff with our table that we needed that we couldn't quite secure.
That you didn't have.
Pasokan came through and gave us some graphics, some wonderful, wonderful information for our table.
These guys were sitting at a plain booth with nothing there, just their, just them, their two beautiful faces, and just...
Toot your own horn now. Look at that.
Toot your own
that
horn.
That Norris Checkpoint energy is infectious.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pasokan, this is your third PAX East that you've been to, right?
I've been to 2016, 2017, and now 2019.
So, so what's your favorite? And you've been to other conventions as well, right?
Yep.
So what is it, in your opinion, that sets PAX apart from other conventions?
The thing that sets PAX apart, really, is always there's this one big game or one big event that everyone's excited for. And this year, I'm pretty sure it was Borderlands 3. The last time I was here, 2017, it was, well, let's say Overwatch, because 2017 was also the year that they had Lawbreakers and Battleborn, but we don't talk about those.
Yes, indeed.
We don't talk about those that much. But in 2016, I don't even remember because I was so overwhelmed by how big this venue is and how many people
so
here.
Great. It's massive.
It's a great location.
It's absolutely massive. And so from a fan perspective, from a consumer perspective, PAX definitely has more available for people to come and buy, and you know, communities to sort of express and become a part of. As somebody who is very active in the Overwatch community, where's the rest of the Overwatch stuff?
It all just kind of went away after the launch, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff now is just kind of just gone. All the advertising, all the popularity for Overwatch is now being really sunk into the league. Like, we're sitting right next to us to the Boston Uprising. But honestly, that's their only real big presence here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, there's lots of other jerseys. I've seen guys from...
The fans are the presence now, which I think that's awesome. And much word out to the Boston Uprising, because every time we're talking about community events, it seems like Boston is at the forefront.
Oh, shout outs to the Boston Uprising fan group and their official Discord. It's because... let me tell you. Every single time there is a Boston game, there's always a watch party. Every single time, no matter what. Shout out to Val, who gets those things done, by the way. She's there every single game, win or loss, even the time that Shanghai won.
I forgot about that. Shanghai beat Boston.
How did you feel about that,
by the way, when that happened? You're a Boston fan.
Look, when that happened,
it couldn't happen to a nicer team.
Look, Boston has the biggest ups and downs of any other esports team, bar none, considering everything.
Yeah.
Because I was just honestly confused when they lost, but the days after and the news got out, it was just confusing. And every day that the days went by and all the news started happening about what the rules that happened and the literal last 2-minute switch out that Fusions had to do, Me and my partner, who is a Shanghai Dragons fan, they don't even consider that a win. That was just a fluke.
That is not a fluke.
No.
That was not a fluke.
They earned that.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
I hate to say it on hostile ground like that, but that was not a fluke.
Shanghai earned it as well.
That was not a fluke.
I'm just saying
that the rules helped them a little bit. The rules are gone. Here's my hot take.
Okay.
Here's my hot take.
Go.
Shanghai just beat y'all.
I wouldn't even say that's a hot take. That sounds to me like the hard facts.
Hard fact. I'm sorry.
Hard fact.
Can't believe you guys.
I'm sorry I had to say that, but it's the truth. But one last thing, Apostle Kong, we also wanted to bring you on to thank you for being such a wonderful supporter.
Oh, you guys are such sweethearts.
And a wonderful fan of the show for such a long time. And you've been doing this all week. But I gotta ask you, tell the people out there why they should listen to Checkpoint.
Oh my God. Well, if you guys haven't heard about Checkpoint XP, they're the first internationally syndicated radio show for esports from gamers like you guys, by gamers, all about stuff like Overwatch League, other esports, video game news, and honestly, it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to radio.
There it is.
If you guys are in the Boston area, you can listen to them on 98.5 on Sundays at from 11 to 1. If you can't make that, or if you're in a different area of the world, they have other syndicated stations. And from Monday to Friday, from starting at 5, you can listen to the Checkpoint XP Daily Show. You set me up for this, didn't you?
I did.
I want you to know that read
would make Nate proud.
Nate would be so proud of that read.
Let me be honest with you. 90% of this is almost imitating Nate and other people I know.
Well, Pastor God, thank you so much for taking the time out. And again, thank you so much for being a great supporter of the show. And we'll see you for all the rest of the weekend.
Of course. See you guys later.
All right.
Thank you to absolutely everyone that we talked to out at PAX East for their time. For full interviews, visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.